This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
Today's show is brought to you by Yo Radio, the first music and radio platform with stations curated and managed by artists and influencers from across the globe. From Drake Bell to Megadeth's David Ellefson to UFC star Uriah Hall, just to name a few. Welcome to Yo Radio. Yo Radio delivers the best listener experience and is completely free. From hip-hop to rock to blues to EDM, Yo Radio has the music you want at your fingertips. Download the app now in the App Store for Apple devices and in the Google Play Store for Android. Or just go to YoRadio.com. That's YoRadio.com.
It's time to step up to the plate with Jim, Steve, Fish, and former two-time Gold Glover World Series champion, Benji Molina.
A swing and a miss, and that's the winner! That's the winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!
Ranger, that is! In the left field, December 3000, a run is scored!
Smith corks one into right down the line. It may go! Go crazy, folks!
The Clippers there. The Cardinals won the pennant. The Cardinals won the pennant. The Cardinals won the pennant.
Breeze hits it in the air to center. We will see you tomorrow night.
Swing and a miss. The Cardinals are world champions for 2006.
In the air to left, well hit. Back is Craig. What a team. What a ride. The Cardinals are world champs in 2011.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Thursday morning edition of Two Birds on a Bat, your St. Louis Cardinals fan podcast, coming to you from the patio studios and, of course, brought to you by our good friends at The Innovated Companies. That's theinnovatedcompanies.com. My friend Randy Green. Check them out. They're ready to roll for you if you need any help, whether it be residential, commercial, or industrial. 35 years experience and, most importantly, a second-generation craftsman that's a man of his word, which is extremely important these days. Save yourself time, energy, and money, whether it be the construction team, heating and cooling, electric, and now ready to help you out with any of your needs, the plumbing team. So, again, make sure you check out Randy. He deserves an opportunity for your business. One more time, that's innovativecompanies.com. You know, it's a sad day in Cardinal Nation. It was a sad evening, obviously. I think, you know, to be honest, I had talked to numerous people just in general about Cardinals, and I think most people know if you listen to the show, I like Cardinal history, and I love the things that have happened in the past. I know a lot of times we get focused on the present, but I always say that, you know, sometimes, you know, things don't always go so well so that you can have these unbelievable memories. It's the number one reason why, you know, I say all the time, it broke my heart when Albert Pujols left, because while I understand, and I'm no dummy, that, you know, maybe the last couple years or few years may not have been the greatest. Just the thought of living through what I like to call living legends is important to me. That's important to me in my Cardinals fan experience, okay? Yes, I'm a competitor. I love to win. I always say all the time, the only stat that matters to me is winning and losing. And that's why I get unhappy. The reality of it is, though, is that I love the romantic side of baseball. I love the history of base. I love that stuff. And, you know, obviously we lost Red, Shane Deist, and I tell you, there's something about seeing a guy in a uniform basically his whole life. You know, I say it all the time. It's why I was so excited when the Cardinals signed Yadi to that contract. There's something romantic about that to me when it comes to the game of baseball. You know, Red Shane Deist obviously meant something probably a little bit different to every fan. He probably meant something different to every person he ever came in contact with in a Cardinal uniform. But, you know, again, most of us never saw Red Shane Deist play. Most of us weren't around to see him do anything what I would call on the field that you would see in a baseball game. But he affected so many lives on the field, off the field, and not just in Cardinal Nation. I mean, he was a shared guy throughout the baseball community, of course, but it's a sad, sad time. I think any time a living legend dies, it's sad. You know, we all have living legends in our life too. It's not just about baseball, but man, it's a tough thing. I saw my friend Benji post something yesterday. Obviously, Benji had much more of an opportunity than the average person to be around Red, to talk to Red, to learn from Red. And we're going to talk a little bit about that before we get into the unhappiness with this team, because the theme of today's show is, I know you're unhappy. I'm curious who you're unhappy with. And we're going to talk about that. But first, we're going to pay our due respect to a man that deserves it. So let me welcome in on the M4ByYachty.com my partner in crime, Benji Molina. What's going on, buddy?
What's going on? What's going on, Dimbo?
Well, like you said, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Sad. No. I was just gonna say, like you said, man, just very sad day, man.
Well, you know, I think, and I just said this, we as fans, we know a certain side of these guys. Some guys show you more of themselves than others, right? Like some guys are private. I say all the time, I use your brother as an example. I say, you have no idea what a fun, loving guy Yachty is. I mean, you see his joy on the baseball field, but then, you know, he's serious, you know. He's a character, you know, and sometimes we as fans don't see a side of a player. You know, I think everybody had a pretty good idea who Red was, but guys like yourself had an opportunity to spend real time with him. Just tell us in your words a little bit how you found him to be as a man and as a baseball guy.
Holy crap, man. And that guy was as humble as he could be. I heard stories from many, many of our legends in the Cardinal Nation, many, many of them, saying he's the greatest guy they ever met. That's how good he was. I got a chance to, I mean, I've seen him through the years that Yachty was there, you know, and obviously I visit him and stuff like that, and I seen Red and say hi, but I had an opportunity to sit down with him almost every day, because he was in the changing room with us every day, every night, and we were home. He was there with the uniform, he was there changing, he went to the shower, changed, and went home, I mean, like a coach. So I had many, many opportunities to talk to this guy. His mind is unbelievable. Unbelievable for baseball. It's crazy when you sit down with this guy and you think you know baseball. You think you're excited for something, and all of a sudden he comes out and tell you a story, and you're like, wow, you guys went through that. I mean, this is serious. And these guys, right, these days, not all of them, but most of them, they don't appreciate where they at. They think they have to be given to them. Like when you sign a contract these days and you're a first, second, third round, you sign a contract that says in the fifth year or fourth year, I have to be in the major league roster. If not, you lose me. I mean, and then that was one of our conversations. And he said, how the hell are you going to have a guy just never touch a professional diamond and you're going to tell him, okay, in 3 years, I got to have you in the major league roster. How the hell are you going to have a guy like that? And he got fired up because you got to show me that you belong here. You got to show me that you're doing everything you can in the AAA level, at least in the AAA level. So you can be here with us and you can earn the right to be here. I mean, he was really proud on earning the spot in the big leagues, not given, you know. So, and I was right with him because I had to earn my freaking way up. And I was like, man, Red, you're going right to my heart, man, because I had to do it that way. And there's many, many stories, Jimbo, that this man told us. He's one guy in the Cardinals that, man, it will be missed deeply. Like, not just words and things like, but deeply, you know, like it really hit my heart when I saw the news yesterday. And I was here, I'm here in Seattle right now and our home and summer home and stuff. And I'm looking at the water and then this thing pops up about Red. And I'm like, no, man. I know he was 95 years old. He had a great life and he he did what he wanted to do all his life. I mean, that was, it's awesome. But we're still losing a legend, man. You don't call just anybody legend. You know, I hear you talk, and sometimes you call the legends, but those are legends, right? But you don't call just anybody legend. There's a reason for it. Well, this guy, Red, he's a freaking legend, man. I don't know what word comes after legend, but, dude, this guy is, for me, in my heart, I'm really, really sad. For his family, I'm really, really sad. And I want to share something that I go by, I went by my whole career, okay? He said, you always believe that as good as you knew you were, there was always somebody who could take your place. I tried to work as hard as I could to make sure that didn't happen. How much true do you want to that, man?
Wow.
You know, in 2010, I played my last game, Jimbo. In 2010, I lost the game in the World Series, and I was playing that last game like it was the first one, because I didn't want the next guys coming behind me to take my place, because I didn't know if I was going to retire or not at that time and things like that. So I was like, man, I'm playing this game. I got to show that I can play. Look, in 2010, when I played my last game, I did what he was just talking about right here. He played all his life like that. Somebody's going to take my place. Somebody's going to take my place. These kids these days, and again, not all of them. But majority of these kids these days, they don't care. They don't care. They go out there, play hard, and if they make it, they make it. And if they don't, they go. It's not in their hearts, you know. And like I said, not everyone, but most of those kids, if they don't make it, they're okay. I wasn't okay if I didn't make it. I wasn't okay. I mean, I could have lived a good life. Yes, I could have. I could have been okay. But in my head, in my heart, I can be okay. That was my life. That's what makes you, those things makes him legend. That's what makes him a legend for us. You know what I mean? That's what I mean by Red. Red is a true, true legend, and it happens to be that he's a Cardinal. That's why people need to appreciate that he's a Cardinal, you know, and he will be a Cardinal for life. And he'll be missed, man. He'll be missed.
Yeah, we throw around the term once-in-a-generation player, and I tell people all the time that the reason I love opening day and play in World Series and play, whenever the Hall of Famers come out, and, you know, that's what I like about the Cardinal Hall of Fame thing that they're doing. I think it's an understanding of it's supposed to be the Hall of Fame, not the Hall of the Great. And we've had great players here that are obviously not going to be in the Hall of Fame. But we as Cardinal fans appreciate what they did here, and we want to continue to remember those unbelievable events. And it's something special here. I say it all the time. I see fans wanting to run this cutthroat operation, and I just don't know if that's realistic. I understand it. I don't even know that I have a problem with it at the moment, but you don't get what we have by being that way. And, you know, there's all kinds of guys there that if you wanted to treat them like property, to be quite honest, or you wouldn't have this. And I'm sorry, you just wouldn't. I mean, just look around. You just wouldn't. And honestly, I can't tell you enough how much it means to me to have that history here. And again, am I concerned with the present? Of course I am. I'm normal. I'm frustrated. Like, yeah, am I frustrated right now? Yeah, I'm frustrated today. I wasn't frustrated 3 days ago. Now I'm frustrated again today. That seems to be the life of a Cardinal fan these days.
But how many of these kids, Jimbo, you think are going to be legends for the Cardinals?
I don't know now. You know, that's the thing. I mean, we look at
I'm saying like in the new version of it, right? Like right now, in the team right now.
That I'm sure
have that is going to be a legend.
That I'm sure of? One.
Yeah.
That I'm absolutely sure of.
Too.
Yeah. And
with Wainwright.
You know, I think, well, I'll say yes to Wainwright. I was really talking about Yachty. But yeah, okay, a couple, sure. And, you know, and that's my thing. I saw the other day, it made me think of this the other day. You know, like people, like I'm seeing these articles about should we stop giving David Freese standing ovations every time he comes up to the bat? Why does somebody care so much? What kind of hate or what kind of animosity do you have to have in your soul or body to care if the fans...
And not to be appreciated for what I did.
I don't understand that. Listen, there are very few moments...
One standing ovation, first at bat, and that's it.
I'd be fine with that. I'd be fine if they just clapped really loud. I don't care. My point is this. What do you have to have in your body when it comes to animosity or hate or just sheer unhappiness to care enough to make it an issue? Because my thing is this. Very few moments in your life is a where were you moment. Okay, and I assure you, Game 6 is a where were you moment. I don't understand. I mean, this is not life or death here. This is a passion and a love for a sport played by other people that gives us entertainment. If you were not entertained in 2011 by David Freese, and it's such an issue for you, I'm unhappy. I am sad for you. That's just something.
Player one. Strike away three times or two at least that I remember to lose a World Series. One of those banners that you have out there in that stadium that you probably as a hater and not you, I'm saying the guy who don't like the cheering for the other team thing. That guy maybe was in the parade too cheering, and now he doesn't want to give the guy who made it happen for you, a standing ovation? Come on, man. That's ridiculous. But you were in the parade, I bet you, if you're that guy that doesn't like that. He was probably at the parade, man.
Yeah. To each his own, again. I mean, you fan how you want to fan. I just find it odd. But hey, we appreciate your thoughts on Red. Again, I mean, you know, it's a sad day, obviously. Again, as you lose these legends, and you know the thing is, you just forget baseball. I mean, by all accounts, just a tremendous human being, and the world always use one of those.
You know what? Heck yeah, man! In our place too, in St. Louis. Come on, man! You gotta appreciate that. That's a real legend. But you know, one of the things that surprised me when I talked to him, and I had this thought before, but he assured it. We were talking about how the coaches will come in and discuss the game today, right? Like we lost, and after the game, we'll sit down in the clubhouse and we'll discuss, hey, what happened? What the heck we do wrong? And he was big on telling everybody, why do we wait until we lose to discuss this? Let's try to figure it out before we lose so we don't lose. And I'm like, wow. I mean, I always thought about that, but I never could have made it happen because obviously we don't know the future. But he was big on that, man. He every time he said, why are we gonna talk about now? We just lost. Forget about it. Turn the page. Let's come back tomorrow and beat the crap out of those guys. And I'm like, okay. And then all of a sudden, I asked him, and he said, no, man, because we always wait to when something happened to say, okay, let's fix it. No, let's try to fix it while it's happening, or let's try to fix it before it happened so we don't have to have this sad discussion at the end of the game. And I'm like, wow, man, look at the mentality of this guy. And he had this mentality for 60-plus years in the organization. Are you kidding me, man?
Yeah.
Two World Series manager, two World Series player. It's crazy, dude. Seven World Series. That mentality is amazing, and that's what we're going to miss, man, around the stadium. You know, Red. Red was a really funny guy. Red was really, really cool dude, man. If you talk to him, he'll talk to you. He's not one of those that I know myself. That if you go talk to him, they give you a look and, okay, buddy, get the heck out of here or something like that. And no, he's a true, true gentleman. I mean, he'll be missed, man, like I said.
Well, I know, you know, all of the Cardinal Nation just, you know, appreciated him. They tried to show him love and tried to show him respect. And again, it'll be, you know, it's, you know, this is part of life. I think everybody understands that. And, you know, we'll be able to show our appreciation for him, I'm sure, in different ways throughout the season, but he will be missed. And, you know, I hope that, and I know that, you know, certain players have talked about it before, the appreciation for understanding their place in Cardinal history and how important I know, you know, the two guys we talked about today, Adam and Yachty, both have discussed numerous times, you know, in public, their understanding of their place in Cardinal history and how respectful they both are of it and their understanding of what it means. So, it is a reverent type thing, you know. It is a respect type thing. It is an understandable thing. And for me, it's sad, and you know, we'll mourn the loss. And again, it does, you know, it is interesting to think that, you know, when these things happen, the only enjoyment you can get out of it are the great stories to remember these people and the things that they did. And again, by all accounts, we obviously are talking about Cardinal baseball, but he was a tremendous human being if you talk to anybody that was around him. And he was blessed. And listen, his family, the people that knew him would say he lived an unbelievably long and blessed life. I've heard numerous people say, too, he had his health to be able to do the things that he wanted to do for so long that is something in itself. So, you know, obviously to the family, all of our thoughts and prayers, and, you know, to all of us, mourn in your own way, fan in your own way, and let's remember these legends, and let's appreciate them, because again, all this does is remind us is that we're not here forever. So, we're gonna talk a little Cardinal baseball here. As I said before, you know, the question is, when it comes to the team on the field right now, we know you're unhappy. The question is, who are you unhappy with? And you know, I think it changes from day to day. So I just thought I'd ask the question to people. Really think about it without being mad in the moment, and ask yourself, who are you unhappy with? And you know, then we can figure out how to fix it, I guess. Before we do that, though, we want to remind you to check us out, twobirdsonabat.com. You can subscribe to the show there, which is absolutely free, and you'll get a notification when the show comes out. You can also do your shopping at Amazon through our website. It's down on your right on your computer. It's all the way down on your mobile device. Basically, it doesn't cost you anything. It takes you right to Amazon. You're done with us, but we get a very small referral, and it helps us with production costs. So if you would do your shopping at Amazon, we'd greatly appreciate it. You can listen to back episodes if you'd like there as well. You may be listening to the show through there, but subscribing to the podcast is the main thing you can do there, and they've never made it easier. Instant messaging and things like that, social media has made that so easy for us to be a part of everyone's conversation. You can find us on Twitter. We are at Birds on a Bat Show. If you follow us and you're a Cardinal fan, we're going to follow you back because we want to know what you're thinking, and we'd like to get involved in conversations if we feel it's our place. Facebook, we love Facebook because you can do a little bit more on that and get more people involved. Find us on Facebook. Simply type in Two Birds on a Bat. Like our Facebook page. And click invite your friends, and then, you know, obviously, if they're Cardinal fans, we'd like them to be a part of it, too. Two Birds on a Bat Show on Instagram as well. Find us there. Follow us. We'd appreciate it. And you can find us through the lineupmedia.fm network, home now to Yo Radio, the newest internet radio sensation. Download it. Give them a review. It's tremendous. I'm getting more and more people every day telling me, hey, I found it. It's awesome. I love where you guys are going with it. So many new shows coming on every day. Different stations. I know there's a new health station coming up soon. They're signing people every day, and you guys are going to enjoy it. Make sure you check out Yo Radio. Very easy to do. Download it in the App Store, and of course, as I said, they'd appreciate a review if you don't mind leaving them one. Brian Kroc, Andrew Allen, they do so much work for us behind the scenes here through lineupmedia.fm. Our producers, I can't thank them enough. One last time, too, want to thank our friends at Patty O's for their continued support. Of course, my man Randy at InnovativeCompanies.com. But don't forget my man Mark Marcuso, Arlington Greens, the hidden gem here in the Midwest. Head over to Granite City, Illinois. Find yourself a tee time at Arlington Greens. Tell my man Mark Marcuso you heard about him on Two Birds on a Bat, and you wanted to come see what a great course they have. They do tremendous work. They've got it looking great. Again, I always say some rain and some heat get that place looking good. So, again, make sure you check out Arlington Greens. And if you get the opportunity, sit down and have a cold beverage with my man Mark. He's a tremendous player, but he's also a tremendous guy. So make sure you check that out. And, of course, when you're done, go eat. Have some ribs. Have some brisket. Have some turkey. Have some chicken. Have it all. That's what we did. Again, Adam Smokehouse down on Watson, tremendous. Love the ribs. I'm ready to get back there and get some more ribs for myself. But again, special thanks to Mike and Frank over there. They always take care of us when we go. They take care of everybody. We love getting reports from our listeners that, hey, I went and checked it out. You're right. It's tremendous. So, again, make sure you check out Adam Smokehouse. And we're loving our relationship with them as well. Well, how can you not love the relationship with a barbecue place? So, all right, let's talk some Cardinal baseball here, and let's try to figure it out. And, of course, as we do on Thursdays, we love to bring into the conversation, just in case we get off kilter with what we're seeing with our eyes, we always love to have the guy that has the numbers to back up how he's feeling. And that's our man, Mo's Algorithm, as it's time for Bow Ties and Sweaters, where analytics meet the eye test. How we doing, Mo's?
Good. How are you doing, Jim?
Well, you know, it's a sad day, obviously, in Cardinalville, but, you know, we got to talk a little Cardinal baseball, and obviously much more important the loss of Red, but our Cardinals seem to be in that roller coaster ride that we've kind of become accustomed to the last couple years. Just when you feel like we're getting it going, things kind of come back. I guess, you know, I'm asking the question today. I know people are upset, but who are they upset with? And I think the first thing we have to ask is this who this team is? Are they a roller coaster team? Do you see anything numbers-wise that would lead you to believe that this is who they are and we're just going to have to realize that it's going to be a bumpy ride? Or do you see anything that tells you there's a consistent course coming?
Really? I mean, there's not a whole lot different about this team than the last 2 years, really. They struggle against bad teams. They can beat good teams every now and then. They're just inconsistent. It's just inconsistent baseball. You know, they're being carried now. The bullpen is an absolute dumpster fire. The offense has no clue what they're doing on a nightly basis. And it's just an inconsistent baseball team that, if there aren't major changes, is going to win 83-86 games again. And it's sad. I didn't expect this. I thought that the bullpen would be really good. I thought that the offense would be even better. And so far, both those aspects of the game have let them down tremendously. And I'm sorry, but these young arms in the rotation are not going to hold up all year long the way they've been pitching. It's just not going to happen. I mean, even guys like Michaelis and Martinez are not going to pitch the way that they've been pitching for 6 months. There's going to be some regression to both of them. And if the bullpen can't hold a lead or can't even keep them in the baseball game like the last two nights against the worst team in baseball, the worst. The Marlins are so much worse than even the Reds. I can't even begin to describe it. And the bullpen can't even keep them in the game. I put a lot of this on Mo and Gersh, and I normally back them tremendously, but this is sad. I mean, they're 2-7 against the Royals, Marlins, and Twins. 2-7. That's not going to get it done. They are 10-14 since they swept the Cubs. It's just bad baseball, and I'm severely disappointed in this team.
Benji, you've played in the league 13 years. You've played baseball your whole life. You know, I think the frustrating things for fans sometimes is if a team doesn't play well and they're just not good, you feel like change will make things better. I think the harder part here is the roller coaster ride, right? Because, I mean, you play that Pittsburgh series and you get all excited. You play the Cubs series and you get all excited and you start thinking, okay, this is who we are. But then different colors show. In your opinion, I mean, you've been in the clubhouses before. What is the biggest reason sometimes for that roller coaster? Is there any, or maybe there's not, maybe it just is what it is. Can you describe it, why it happens, or is there really no rhyme or reason to it?
In my opinion, I'm with Mo, you know, what Mo was saying there, makes sense. A lot of it too. And I'm with him too. You cannot have an up and down bullpen, the guys that are not doing the job and the guys that we have that are not doing their job, and expect to win constantly, right? Like every day, you know, like the Cubs do, or in this case, like Pittsburgh was doing, or Milwaukee. Why do you think Milwaukee doesn't lose many games? And it's because they have the best bullpen in the game. It's very simple. I've been saying this for a year, maybe 2 years now. If you don't have a consistent bullpen, a bullpen that comes out and literally just shuts you down most of the nights and then have one bad night out of the whole week, but they then come back and back you up for six games, I mean, you're not going to have any trouble. We're not going to have this conversation. But when you have a bullpen that is not doing what is expected to, I mean, some guys are hurt, and I understand that, but when they're not doing the job, it's really hard, man. That's why you see these things. And when you have an up-and-down offense, when you have guys hitting under 200 or at 200, and those guys are your main lineup guys, like I said in the past show, I said, we cannot sit here and criticize Jose Martinez. We cannot sit here and criticize Ozuna. Well, we cannot sit here and criticize Yadi before he got hurt. And we cannot sit here and criticize Pham, because those are the guys who have held the fort. However you want to see it, however, as a fan, you have seen it. They're the one doing something for us. The other kids are having trouble. It's just what it is. The Bader is doing good. But then you go back to Carpenter. Carpenter had a 2-week period. He's been crushing, and we need more of him. Then you have Fowler hitting under 200. We need more of him. And then you have Wong. Yeah, he hit a walk-off home run and stuff. But overall, I mean, like in the whole season, you know, he's been hitting 170, man. I mean, are you expecting to win constantly with these four guys hitting like this, or the bullpen messing up a little bit, and some guys, you know, not pitching how they can be able to pitch? I mean, I wasn't. This is could be one of the reasons why they go up and down, is because of those two things. The bullpen is pitching the way they are, and the up and downs, and they can get lefties out sometimes, but also the hitting. We can't blame everybody. Obviously, you can pick and point whatever you want. We can choose. But four of our main guys are hitting under 200 or at 200. I mean, if that's not a recipe to disaster, I don't know what is. I'm sorry, but if you want to be a team like a Brewers right now, and this year and last year, consistent, they do it with the bullpen. I mean, with having a good bullpen, I should say. Obviously, they do it with starting and everything they do it. But I'm just trying to say, like, they got to have a bullpen, and they do. Cleveland Indians, how do you think the Cleveland Indians always been consistent for the past 3 years? It's because they have a great bullpen. And this year they're struggling. Why? Because they lost two parts of that bullpen. I mean, the bullpen is very key. I've been saying it for two years, man. I've been saying it. So I think those are my reasons.
Well, I hear you. And the thing is, I sent something to Mo the other day. I was curious. The only thing that kind of made me wonder was, I would be curious to know if any of our listeners can find out this information. It has to be out there. I would love to, not just the Cardinals, I would love to know team, just like the stat I always say, it isn't confined to one person. It's a Major League Baseball stat, like what a guy's average is in an 0-1 count, a 1-0 count, a 2-0 count, 2-1, so on. I would love to know what teams' records are when the starter does not give them more than five innings. It just never seems to work out well. It just doesn't. I would love to know how much that taxes a team. I'd be curious.
It won't help him. It won't. You said that it's not helping, and it won't in the future either.
I'm just curious how much that matters to a daily thing. And I know you're saying, you know, you're giving me the answer. I'd love, obviously, to know the stat on it just so I know. But you're right. By the eye, I would say it never seems to work out well. Now, here's the thing that I would say. Sometimes, yes. But I don't, you know, just because it works today doesn't mean it doesn't have a lasting effect on your bullpen and affects it at a later date, because we're just putting too much on these guys. And, you know, the other thing I'll say is this. The Matheny being a bad manager or whatever has been just beat to death. And I really don't care one way or the other. I really don't. I mean, I think people know my stance on it. I think we have other problems. Do I think he's got his problems? Sure he does. I think we have other problems. My biggest problem here is this. This is on Mullen. And again, you can kind of put it on Gersh, I guess. I'll be honest with you and tell you, I have no idea even what his role is. I don't even know. I mean, we very rarely hear from him. This is still Mo's baby, in my opinion. My best opinion is that Mo is tremendous minor league. I mean, he is, you know, he can build a minor, you know, and the more you talk to people in the know, he is a tremendous minor league developer, coordinator, understands how to develop a minor league system, understands what it takes. Just look at what he's done. There's no doubt about that. But man, the stuff that's going on at the major league level when it comes to the players that we're obtaining is suspect at best. And the thing there is that it's easy to point the finger, in my opinion, at Mo, and then this is where I will get in. Now, my next question will go to Mo's. I will say this. When I go shopping, okay, I have Porsche taste, but I have to buy, you know, maybe a Toyota or a Honda because I'm not allowed. Now, I would love to spend the money on the Porsche. The bank won't allow me to buy the Porsche. It tells me that my debt to income doesn't allow me to get credit on a Porsche. So the problem is this. Does Mo Zalock, the real Mo's, does he want a Porsche? And the bank, DeWitt, is he telling him, I don't think so? Now, last year, I felt like, for the first time, the bank said, hey, your credit's good with us. Go get what you want. And when that one big fish couldn't be obtained, they went a different route. My opinion is now we'll see, because especially with the Max Scherzer stuff coming out in the last couple of days, which does not paint a great picture for him, okay? I've said it once, and I'm going to say it again, and it's like beating a dead horse. Never in their history, even more than Max Scherzer at the time, and I would say that one is about tops on the list, has a player like Manny Machado been more of a fit for this franchise for a variety of reasons, not just on the field, off the field as well, because they have a problem. Look at the attendance. I don't care what ticket sales are. Look in the stands. Never have they needed a guy like Machado more. And I'll say it once, and I'll say it again. Money they have. They could pay Machado obscene money and just pay him with money that's going to be off the books this year.
I like Machado, but man, that bullpen needs to be guys that have done it, guys that, you know, the top dogs, like I used to call them. When that 7, 8, and 9 inning come in, man, we have to have the top dogs in the major leagues, not the top dogs of the National League, or not the top dogs of three teams. No, we need to have the top freaking dogs. Like the top three freaking free agency, like this year, for example, Brian Shaw. I don't know how he's doing right now. I don't care. But at that time, he was one of the best ones in the free agency. That's who we needed to have here. And then all of a sudden, Addison Reed, I heard he wasn't doing so well in Minnesota, but I don't care. But at that time, he was one of the best. So guess what? Even if he doesn't work out, for me, that 7, 8, and 9 is going to make me a first-place team. Listen to this. I know Machado, obviously, it's a great addition, man. I love it. I would love to have Machado. But I tell you what, Jimbo, you add Machado and you have the same bullpen struggles, ain't no matter if you add Stanton and Judge, too. You know what I'm saying? That 6, 7, 8, and 9 inning are going to come by. And all of a sudden, we're going to lose a 3-2 game. All of a sudden, we're going to lose a 4-3 game. Come on, man. We need the top dogs, the really top, if we want to be a first-place team. And I've been saying this for a long time. This is not a new thing for me. I've been saying this for a long time now.
Well, I'm going to say that the precursor to this is that my assumption is that the bullpen That's already a changing atmosphere. I mean, you know, we got guys down there on 1 year contract. We got a guy down there, and so you know, my anticipation is as we get younger.
But it should have been last year.
Well, no, I agree. I agree with that. I'm not always so sure that signing guys. You brought it up, Mose. You may be able to jump in on this as well. It looks like Brian Shaw has been okay this year. Juan Nicasio has been okay. Addison Reed's actually been decent. A lot of the guys that were signed that people wanted actually haven't been great, to be completely honest. Greg Holland hasn't been great. Wade Davis has been Wade Davis.
But at that time of signing, they've been the best. You don't know what they're going to do. Look, you signed Wong for 5 years, 6 years. Have it been what we expected? No.
Oh, no.
Hey, you signed a couple of guys, Fowler, for a few years. Have he been what we expected? No. So why can't we sign Brian Shaw or Addison Reed? We don't know what they're going to do in the season. We're just signing the best product available out there. That's what I mean.
Mose, I was, like I said, I was kind of directing to you. Like, I'm not sure where you go. Again, the manager has his problems. There's no doubt he does things that I scratch my head all the time, but we still have a situation where the manager doesn't have a number three hitter. He doesn't have one. I don't care what anybody says, he doesn't. He doesn't have a bullpen. So, again, we're judging a guy who doesn't have what all the other managers that we are comparing him to have. I'm sorry, but there we go. I mean, that's my problem. Everybody wants to compare him to this guy and this guy. He has never had what these other guys have. Never. Okay, everybody says, oh, he inherited Tony. He inherited Tony La Russa's team minus the two best players on the team.
Yep.
Okay?
Yeah.
So, again, I would love to compare, if they went out and got Machado and they couldn't win, you're gone. You got a guy you pencil in third every day, and you've got enough talent to pencil in and around him that you should be able to win. That's what Tony did. There was no problem with that.
You won't win without a bullpen, I'm telling you.
No, 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 I agree with that. I agree with that. So that's my other point. So now you've got some young arms that are coming up that you like. Go get a proven guy, and then let's see how it works. But we just, you know, again, I said,
hey, before Mo comes in and say his words and stuff, I want to say something. How in the world you can overpay a guy like Sisso, a guy like I don't know, in the middle, Luke Gregerson or whatever, and whoever it was before, I don't care. I'm just saying, how can you overpay the guys like that? But then a guy like Wade Davis, that's going to be there for you every ninth inning, and he's going to do a good job for you every ninth inning consistently. He's going to be in that role, and ninth inning, he's going to be good. He's doing great with Colorado in a tough stadium. You don't think he's going to be going good in St. Louis? That's why one of the things I don't understand, why don't you overpay when you have to? But then you overpay when you don't have to. I don't get that part.
That is the million-dollar question, to be quite honest. That is the best question asked. Mose, you have any, like, does that puzzle you as well, overpaying for mediocre talent versus overpaying for top-end talent?
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't understand. It doesn't make any sense to me. And that's what, you know, what really did it for me with the whole Mozeliak and DeWitt thing was when they wouldn't spend $25 million for Luis Robert. They wouldn't do it. They you know, and then DeWitt comes on and says, well, I want to spend that on the major league club. Okay,
and then
where?
He didn't. And then he didn't.
And then he didn't. So what are you talking about? You know, and to go back on the Matheny thing, yeah, he doesn't have all the tools in the shed that he needs, but he continues to run a first baseman out there that can't catch a baseball. So he's got options, but he chooses not to use them. It blows my mind.
But
why in the world is Jose Martinez standing at first base? He can't catch a baseball.
I'm with you, Mo. I'm with you on the defensive side. I'm not. I don't have anything. But do you really believe that this team can afford taking out your best hitter?
Put him in right field. None of the right fielders are hitting.
Well,
he can catch a fly ball. We've seen him do
option.
That.
That's
well, why
option.
Is this option
yeah,
not I'm being explored? That's what I don't understand. They continue to throw baseballs over at first base and watch them get chucked into the crowd. This is the little things that blow my mind, and this is coming from someone who says defense is overrated, because usually it is, but my God, you can't have a first baseman who physically can't catch a baseball. They're in every single play on the baseball field. We talked about Bader.
They believe in Bader and Fowler, right, because that's what they pay. That's who they pay. If they put this guy in the outfield, man, you got to have to release Fowler or trade him. Because that's
maybe
what's going to be.
Maybe you trade Jose and you find a real first baseman. This team hasn't had a first baseman
too.
Since Albert Pujols. I tweeted last night that there's no trade deadline or free agent period that's going to fix this. This is a deeply rooted problem, and there's issues at every position. So, I put it on Mo and Gersh. It's disappointing. It doesn't make sense to me why they continue to do the things that they do to win 85 games. It's like they project themselves to win 85 and they hope they win 88 to make the playoffs. But yet, if they fall just a little short, they're only going to win 82. Like that's their window, and if you don't want to sign players that are going to help you get to the next level, then that's what you're okay with. Trying to win 85, hoping you win 88, and sometimes you only win 82. That's where they're at.
Yeah, it looks like it, huh?
It does. That is a strong statement. And I will say this: they have said as much themselves. Before the season started, if you listen to some of the interviews, they said as much that, you know, they think they have a 90-win club. They think that's enough to get into the playoffs. And their opinion is that what you see is that all you have to do is get in, and anybody can win once you're in. And again, it's hard to argue that, because I will say this. We all have watched teams win the offseason and then underperform during the season, and it doesn't get them anywhere. We've seen that, right? I mean, I remember.
They must not believe, Jimbo, in Jose Martinez being an outfielder, because that was always a good option. You have Fowler struggling. The only thing is, you're gonna get the same kind of player out there in the outfield that you're gonna get in the first base, man. And I know what Mo's saying. I'm not arguing him with the defense. I mean, I seen it myself. You don't have to tell me, but it's hard to take that bat off the lineup when we don't even have scoring, man. We don't even score many runs. Put him in the outfield and see how it works. I mean, I would do it. But who are you gonna put up first?
Let me ask you a question,
Matt Carpenter looks like a gold glover compared to Jose Martinez.
And that's okay, but how is he hitting? How many games is he going to win you? Hitting. That's what I'm trying to say. You can have all the best defenders in the world. How are we going to score the damn run?
Let me ask you a question. Mo's, this is a great question for you, because I was going to ask you this before Benji said that. So what would happen, in your opinion, and then I'm gonna get Benji's opinion. If I was the manager and I said, you know what, because again, I still find it's unbelievable to me that people don't think that Mike's not frustrated. I don't believe that. They just had the article, Derek Gould shared it when he was hired. All the stories people told you about who he really is, like knocking Steve Klein off a bike and calling people out and doing all this as a player, right? And so all of a sudden, as a manager, he just doesn't care anymore. I don't buy it. So my point is this, okay? And he showed his frustration this week, and rightfully so. Anybody that has a problem with him saying, I have a problem with guys not telling me the truth, Carlos Martinez not telling me, hey, I'm going to go out there and kind of coast the first couple innings and make sure I'm okay, that's a problem. Alex Reyes not telling them, yeah, I had a problem my last start. That's a problem. And if you have a problem with the manager saying in public, guys have to be honest with us. Carlos Martinez never told us that he was going to come out here and throw 8 miles an hour slower to make sure he was okay. Reyes never told us that he felt something in his last start. Okay, that's a problem. And if you have a problem with the manager saying enough's enough, then I don't know what you want from the guy. That's number one. Number two, if this guy finally said, you know what, I was only in the league because I played defense, I can't handle this anymore. If he rolled out a lineup of Luke Voit at first, Colton Wong at second, he's going to have to go with Munoz at short because he doesn't have a choice right now. Jerko at third, Harrison Bader in right, Tommy Pham in center, Marcelo Zuna in left, and Yadi at catcher. How do you think that would work out, Mose? He ran him out there every day for 2 weeks. He ran him out there every day for 2 weeks. How do you think that would work?
They wouldn't score many runs, you know.
Are you scoring many now? I'll play devil's advocate. Are you scoring many now?
No, so it couldn't hurt to try. I mean, I would put Greg Garcia at shortstop over Munoz.
Okay. All right.
But you
might be right. I mean, okay, that's a good call. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, if you'd have a hell of a bench for late in the innings, or in late innings, too. For pinch hitting.
Why is not Jerko over Carp these days? That's what I want to know. Well, no, Carp, because
he did.
He picked
Jerko.
I did. I put Jerko at third.
No, I'm saying because Carp has cut fire the last week, right?
No. I'm putting in an all-defensive team, Benji. I'm putting in the best defenders at their positions. And I'll tell you the truth.
Oh, okay.
People can say whatever they want to say. Carpenter's played well this year defensively. You can think whatever you want to think. But he has not played bad. But yep. I would give the nod to Jerko at third. So I'm going to put in my best defensive lineup. Yachty's not a question. I mean, and again, some of these guys give you some offense, right? Yadi gives you offense. Tommy Pham, when he's right, gives you offense. Ozuna's done better. We like Harrison Bader a little bit. Now, Colton Wong's not giving you anything. Greg Garcia's not going to give you much as a starter. I think if you play Jed Jerko every day, he's going to give you exactly who he is. He's going to hit 240. Okay, that's who he is as a starter. My favorite thing is when people complain when Jerko doesn't play every day, and then when he plays every day, they say, why is he playing every day? He's obviously not an everyday player. He only does well when he gets this many at-bats. People like lose their mind when Jed Jerko all of a sudden goes 1-for-20. This is who he is. He's been this guy his whole life. Okay, so but that's fine. Let's do this. Let's play the best defenders, and let's see what happens. Let's do it. What do you think happens, Benji?
I'm with Mo. If they don't score many runs right now, they ain't going to score many later. Well, Voit, I like Voit as a bat, man. They have forgot about Voit. He can hit, and he can hit better than some of the guys we have right now on the team. So don't forget that. He's a really good hitter. Bader, he can rake, man. Bader's a 300 hitter. He's still obviously not there yet, but I like Bader swings, you know, and I like when he's I know he can hit 300. I know he's a good hitter, but there's some other guys, man, that they show you. I'm not saying this because of Benji Molina. I'm saying that because they show you. They show us who they are and how they're playing. That's very simple. You know, the reason Martinez is playing first or right field for this matter, he could be in the right field, but, you know, his defense is not helping him right now. It's not helping the team at all. But the hitting is helping us. So Martini has no choice than to keep playing this kid because he's going to help us some way, hopefully praying that nobody hits the ball his way or everybody make the throws up in the chest to him. And that's what I bet you that he's thinking. And, you know, I got to play this guy. This guy is going to bring me some runs, and maybe we can win a damn game, you know, against anybody. So he has to play. I know his defense. I'm with you, Mo. No, believe me, I'm a defender first, and I'm with you. But, gosh, man, you cannot sit that guy. You either put him in the outfield, put a first, or guess what? Like you just said, trade him for a good first baseman. Trade him. If you have a problem as an organization with this guy, what he's done, he's been your best hitter all year. And if you have a problem with his defense or in the outfield, you have no spot, okay, well, trade him and see if that next guy that you're going to bring up is going to give you what he did. That's it. Very simple. But they're not going to do that, right? They're not going to do that. They haven't been able to trade Carp. They haven't been able to trade for a second baseman, which it's been a quite a couple, a few years that Wong, I mean, I know he had a 300 average 1 year, but he was hurt most of the year. But other than that, he haven't been able to show it, you know. So what else are we waiting? A six-year on Wong? Are we waiting a Carp to two more years to see that he's slowing down on the hitting? And plus, he doesn't give you a running, you know, the basis. And then he doesn't give you a defense either, because he might be playing better defense than anybody right now, but he only catches the ones that is 1 feet away or 2 feet away. But he has no range, is what I mean.
Right.
You know, we have Paul DeJong, who was coming up. He gets hurt. Then we got Yadi. He got hurt. And then all of a sudden we have a supplement, you know, like a guy from the bench, a bench player playing in a role of an everyday player at short. That hurts your team no matter what. There's so many things around it, man, that like I said, you cannot have four guys in the lineup hitting below 200 or around 200. You don't see that on the winning teams. You don't see it. And you don't see the winning team having a freaking bullpen that it's having trouble almost every night. No, you know, you have two guys that are doing great. You have three guys that are doing great. But what happens to the other four? You have to have a nice bullpen. You have to have a seven bullpen guy or an eight bullpen man, all of them pitching great if you want to have a winning team. If you don't have that, ain't happening, man. I'm telling you, I've been saying this for 2 years. They're not going to win if they don't have a strong enough bullpen. You know, they're not going to win. And lucky enough, we have been lucky enough that to have Bud Norris, who's getting, you know, who's getting our saves and has been pitching great for us and holding up the fort down there.
Yeah.
We'd be lucky enough in that end, but we need to have main guys, man. We need to have those top dogs, like I said.
Well, you know, I guess the question for the fans is, I know you're upset, but who you're upset with, you can share it with us in our post. I think it's pretty plain and simple. Mo, you're not messing around. You're putting this firmly on the shoulders of the guys in the front office. You know, I think that's a big part of it. I think roster construction is always the number one thing. I do think there are some players that they put a lot of faith in based on things they saw, and they're just not performing. Some things I hope are an aberration and will come out of it. I get mad and start playing the blame game and get upset, and then I try to get calm and you know, because the thing is this, I hate complaining and bitching about a baseball team. I do it because I'm normal and I'm human just like everybody else, but I hate doing it all the time. It just feels like it's just bitching and complaining to bitch and complain. But at the same time, I'm frustrated just like everybody else, and I don't know. And that's why I asked the question.
You're frustrated and you are in the Cardinal Nation, imagine if you were in Oakland. Imagine if you were in these teams that don't give a crap about the fans. I mean, because they straight up don't give a damn about you or anybody else a fan. They can care less what the hell you think. I'm going to build these guys, and then guess what? Whenever they get to their top ability, I'm going to trade them away for a young guy. Then here we go again. Let's start losing again. I mean, imagine how those guys feel.
No, I agree. And again, Mose, I appreciate you every week always trying to, you know, give us that insight from the numbers. I'm going to challenge you to find that. I know you said you don't know how the heck you could do it, but if you can find a way to find Major League team's record, if the starter doesn't give them more than five innings, I find it hard to believe it would be over 500. But I guess it could be. I don't know. But see, here's the problem with that. I asked you for that stat, and then when you told me, you're like, I don't know that I see one. And here's my thing on that. Where I'm really going with that is, and I think everybody could agree here, and we'll end it with this, I'm not even sure that's a solid, like, that game stat. I think the bullpen, the starter not going more than five innings, while that day it might be okay, it's bad the next day and the day after that, regardless of what happens. Because you're really taxing it. And then if you look at the Cardinals in the past, when they've had a lot of issues, it's been when it's multiple times it happens, not just once every blue moon. Let's face it, every now and again it happens. It's going to happen to everybody. It's when you start having it happen all the time that it becomes a real issue. And that's, and again, that's the eye test. That's just what I've seen by the eye test. I don't have any numbers to back it up, but it sure seems to correlate, in my opinion.
Yeah, I would agree with you there, especially the day or two after.
All right, my man, I know you gave us a lot of time today, and I know you've got a real job, so we'll let you get back to it. But Mose, thank you so much for joining us, and I know we'll chat with you next week. Hopefully we're talking in a happy place next week.
All right, guys. I'll see you later.
That's our man, Mose Algorithm, Bow Ties and Sweaters, where analytics meet the eye test. We enjoy it very much. Enjoyed today's show. And again, we ask you, chime in on the social media post, because the question's right there. I know you're upset, but who are you upset with? Again, fan how you want to fan. People are not happy. It's obvious. And, be unhappy for a day. Hopefully you'll be happy tomorrow. That's all you can do. I know that we got a day game today. That's the beautiful thing about baseball. There's baseball again today, and today could be a new day and a new start of a winning streak. So hopefully we get one. Want to thank everybody, of course, my friend Benji Molina, for joining us on the m4byyachty.com hotline. Please make sure to check out m4byyachty.com. He's so supportive of the show and has done so much for us. It's our way of telling him thank you. Don't forget our man Mark Marcuso at Arlington Greens Golf Course. Again, the hidden gem here in the Midwest, down in Granite City. Stop by out there. Tell him, say, hey, I hear you like a good cold one and a great cigar, because that man does, and he's got great stories. He's a tremendous player. He's a great instructor too. If you're looking for some instruction, Mark Marcuso's tremendous. He does a great job. You'll never have a more fun lesson, I promise you that. That's Arlington Greens down in Granite City. Adam Smokehouse over on Watson Road, tremendous barbecue, great atmosphere, great people as well. Always want to say hi to Mike and Frank. They do such a tremendous job. And again, anytime I say the name Adam Smokehouse, I just feel like I need to eat some ribs. So get over there and check them out. Appreciate all the comments from people saying, hey, we went there, we tried it, you're right, it's phenomenal. So thank you for that. It means a lot to us here at the show. Of course, Randy and Stephanie Green over at Innovated Companies. Don't forget, now home to the Innovated Plumbing. All four companies under the one umbrella now that can help you, whether it be residential, commercial, or industrial. Heating and cooling, electric, plumbing, and, of course, construction. Get Randy Green involved early. He's a second-generation craftsman and, more importantly, a man of his word. That's the InnovatedCompanies.com. Special thanks to all of our social media partners out there. There are so many of them that we couldn't do the show without. Of course, our man Nate McHenry with our Rally Squirrel, the Rally Squirrel Club. I know he just had a great post yesterday that they're doing something special over at Rally Squirrel Club. Make sure you type in rallysquirrel.com. Check it out. They're offering some great deals over there. And again, we enjoy being a part of it. And Nate does just a tremendous job with his rallysquirrel.com Facebook page as well. Chris Lawless, Cardinals Nation, Cardinals 24/7, and now home to his newest podcast, Cardinals 24/7. They do a great job. Check it out. Love the passion. There can never be enough Cardinal podcasts. I listen to them all. If you have time, check them all out. Everybody does a great job. It's just about being a fan. Cardinals Podcast Network is the new Facebook group that our friend Josh Potter from Art City Media created. To try to bring all the Facebook pages and all of the podcasts together so that you can find them. Make sure you check that out. He's done a great job, and we appreciate everything Josh has done for us here. That includes Mick Light and Art City Media, everything he's done as far as helping us share the show. It means a lot to us here as we continue to grow. Again, Cardinals Nation, Cardinals 24/7, awesome. Cardinal Freak, great job. Cardinals Nation, St. Louis Cardinals Nation, fans of Yadier Molina, St. Louis Cardinals true fans. St. Louis Cardinals Nation, STL Cardinals Nation. Guys, if you get on Facebook and just type in Cardinals, there are so many great Facebook groups, Birds on a Bat group. Check them out. If you really want to have these conversations and you want to jump in and be a part of some of these great conversations, they are out there. You just got to search from Cardinals Country, Baseball Heaven, St. Louis Cardinals True Fans. I'm telling you, they're out there. You can jump in and be a part of it. Just my only advice to anybody would be, if you're going to be a part of these, be respectful. I mean, some of these posts turn just absolutely asinine. It doesn't need to happen. But be fan how you want to fan, but be respectful at the same time. Make sure to check us out on Twitter @Birds on a Bat Show. Find us on Facebook, Two Birds on a Bat. like our page, share it around. We greatly appreciate it. Instagram, Two Birds on a Bat Show, and of course you can find us at twobirdsonabat.com, where we are part of lineupmedia.fm, home of the newest internet radio station, Yo Radio. Make sure you download it. It's absolutely free in the App Store. Leave them a review. Special thanks to Brian Kroc, Andrew Allen, for all you do behind the scenes. I'm your host, Jim Cromer, for Two Birds on a Bat. Let's go, Birds!
Go, Birds!
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.